it's easy to compare with the Joneses, but be very clear about what's important for you and discuss that as a couple, because many of our conversations revolved around why can't we enjoy some of these things?
Right.
And we had to go back to fundamentals.
Welcome, everybody, to the Connect to Marriage podcast. I'm Hosanna, and I'm your host for this episode. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. Do subscribe to our Connect to podcast on your podcast platform. We believe you'll discover interesting topics and helpful conversations. In each episode, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication, and conflict, and so much more. We hope you will keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow closer, deeper, and stronger in your marriage. Our guest couple, Raymond and Jenny, are the wonderful folks behind 10 Butterfingers and the facilitators of The Art of Disagreement and The Art of Engagement Marriage Workshops. Raymond and Jenny, welcome back to the Connect 2 podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Can you guys share a fun fact about yourselves that's related to money? Maybe a unique budgeting habit or a memorable financial disagreement?
We are both accountants by training.
Wow.
However, we have very different approach to how we use money and save money.
Let's start off with getting a sense of how you view money. So you guys said that you have differing opinions on
Absolutely.
This, right? So let's talk about this. How do you approach budgeting as a couple, and how do you use like joint accounts, separate accounts, or both, and why?
I think since you talk about bank accounts, we have both. We have both joint accounts as well as our own individual account.
Yep.
And for the joint account, basically, we set it aside as a savings for savings purposes. You know, any for rainy days or for children's education. Oh, we also have another separate account for the children's education.
Right.
So we kind of squirrel money away very intentionally.
Mm.
In terms of the actual quantum, I think we started off quite similar, but over time, as our income grew at a different pace, then I put in more, because at one point in time, my income was more than Jenny's. So I put in more money than Jenny. Mm. But I think overall, we have a joint account for that purpose. Our separate account is for our own happy money, so that which we don't kind of question why you're spending this money or that money, why you're buying the extra bag or shoes and stuff like that. So I think that was helpful for us, you know, in terms of a tip, you know, to maintain sanity and happiness.
Yeah. I think when it comes to money, one of the key principles is that there must be stewardship. That means we use money wisely. So for us, it means have we set aside some money for different buckets of our use.
Right.
That would include insurance, for example.
Mm.
It would include our necessities, our emergency funds, our tithing, as well as our savings. So making sure that we've set aside different aspects, different pots of money for different purposes. So that's one principle in terms of stewardship, how we use our money and allocate it into those different buckets needed.
I think the other principle that guided us was spending below our means, way below our means if possible. So which means that sometimes, of course, there'll be many things that we want, right, in terms of, you know, the household items or lifestyle decisions, many good to haves. Yeah. But I think we had to be very intentional to kind of tell ourselves what is a must have, what is a good to have, what are things that we shouldn't be having, right? Because there'll be simply no end in terms of, you know, the appetite for life, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, somebody once shared with me, wealth is not about how much you earn, but how much you save, which I thought was really, really wise. So, yeah, I think that's what we tried to do. I mean, in a way, as we look back, we still remember very vividly looking at Facebook, you know, some of our friends who got married a bit
Facebook
later.
Then.
Yeah, we are Facebook time, right? And some of our friends who got married a bit later with kids, of course, later, they were having the time of their life. They're traveling, they are having big meals, they're posting, you know, Facebook, right? You know, everybody's posting stuff about their what they've gone through, what they experienced. And then we were looking at ourselves, you know, with pitiful eyes. And, oh,
we felt a little bit broke, actually.
Yeah, we're so broke because it felt like we have nothing much left.
Right.
Because we are putting money away for rainy days, we are putting money for the children, insurance, parents.
Yeah.
And then when we look at what's left, well, it's really nothing much left, right? But now looking back 25 years on, we kind of felt that, hey, that was a good decision because now we are able to enjoy the fruits of those labor, right? So to speak, now we can have our time, we can go for holidays, we can have those little special meals, the extras after saving for it.
I think there's a concept of delayed gratification, which is really, really hard in today's context. As we look at our friends around us, you know, and they seem to be enjoying life and having everything, being able to afford many things. But for us, our principles of, you know, what's important? What do we need to save for? What do we need to invest in? That's not as sexy. So being able to say, those are important and we need to commit to those. And with whatever we have, we can have the frills, which may not be at the same standard as the people around us. But the whole aspect of delayed gratification works well because there's a compounding of whatever you save and invested in the earlier years. So one tip would be, it's easy to compare with the Joneses, but be very clear about what's important for you and discuss that as a couple, because many of our conversations revolved around why can't we enjoy some of these things? And we had to go back to fundamentals. What are we saving for as a couple? What's important for us in our finances? And when we look at all these and we realize, yes, we are doing all these and we've done the right thing, then it assures us that we have sound money principles and that we don't have to compare and we can enjoy that later in life. Yeah, so that's one of the big tips for us.
Of course, that said, it doesn't mean that we are always cringing and saving and we're not spending, right? That's because we are trying to save it for the future. There will be times, and there were times where we did, let's spend this money. Maybe because we wanted to bless somebody who is in need. You know, we wanted to kind of help somebody who probably will, you know, need a little encouragement, buy a meal. So I think those money comes in handy. So we're not just kind of squirreling money away and being a miser, right? But we will, as what Jenny said, have a bigger picture. We want to know what the money is for. And that requires us to also have a kind of a common viewpoint, common value of how we manage money and the purpose of those money. What are those money to be used for? Not just for ourselves, but maybe in certain times in life, we may want to use this money to be a blessing.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing really is like, knowing what your goals are in life, not just, you know, with the money, but like just having that alignment in your goals and then that, then using the money for those goals, right? Whether it is to save for retirement and all that, then you would know you have to put it aside. But if it's also in the short term, you want to bless somebody, you're willing to let it go well because you're aligned on those goals.
Absolutely.
Right? I guess it's very interesting, right? Like you would think that a financial tip is, oh, you know, this, but it's actually more about bigger thing, right, behind it. Because again, it always ties back to what are you actually using the money for?
Absolutely.
Right?
Exactly.
And being aligned as a couple. So I guess this is the other thing, right, with alignment. I have a question, you know, were there one or two financial tension points for you guys encountered maybe early on in your relationship? And how did you resolve it?
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Marriage is one of the most rewarding things in life. Yet, navigating marriage as newlyweds or an engaged couple can sometimes get overwhelming. Whether it's managing expectations of the in-laws, getting a good grasp of your family finances, or establishing good habits of communication and healthy conflict. Focus on the Family Singapore's Marriage Preparation Program aims to help you build a solid foundation in the early years and prepare you for the adventure of your life. Visit family.org.sg/C2Marriage Prep for more information today.
So many.
I think one of those common complaints that I often hear from Jen was, she said, why don't you buy me flowers? Why can't you buy me this? Why can't you buy me that? And she will feel that I'm not pampering her, not loving her the way she wants to be loved, right? Yeah, and that was a constant source of frustration for me. So I'll tell her, I love you. I love you by doing housework. I love you by doing all that.
I love you by investing for the future, by paying for the children's insurance.
Right. Yeah, I'm paying for all the insurance, you know, and all that, you know, and still not good enough, you know.
I think I had to pause and examine what were some of my narratives going through my mind back then. And I had always, perhaps, you know, I'd seen a stage in my parents' life where my dad, you know, lavished certain gifts on my mom, but it was only much later in his life and not in their earlier years. But because that picture stayed so much in my mind, I thought my husband should be doing the same as well. So, you know, I started to impose those expectations on him. And it was after our conversation that I realized, hey, those expectations weren't fantastic. I had to manage my own expectations and look at how he was loving me in his use of money.
And in the same way, I come from a family where my parents are very traditional. My parents have a shop in Redhill Market selling stuff, right, to kind of put food on the table. And I had to help them, you know, in my growing up years. And my dad has always been very frugal. He would save, scrinch and save every penny. He will not spend on himself. There's no luxuries. And because he doesn't spend on himself, he naturally will not spend on my mom as well. And my mom was the kind that will, you know, the quiet submissive wife, right? Chinese wife, who will just follow and just support, you know, and not grumble, given very little luxuries. So I grew up with that kind of background. So I kind of look at my dad, never doing all these, no role modeling of what quote unquote pampering looks like, let alone lavish gifts that, that my father-in-law does for my mom. So in those moments, right, those were like really frustrating, because why is that important, right? We are, aren't we doing what is right by saving and, you know, for our future, for the kids? For
why am
everything?
I demanding all these things?
Exactly. Yeah. It was frustrating for me, to be honest.
And it was important for us to clarify where those expectations came from, and was it fair for us to put that on our partner?
Right. So a callback to our doing chores thing as well, right? It's actually really coming down to aligning on expectations, or at least having them said verbally and coming to a point of understanding as well.
That's right.
And we realize in our marriage that at some point in time, we don't realize how much we bring in some of the narratives from our family of origin and those expectations. And when conflict arises, it's a good time to pause and say, where's that coming from? Where am I having these expectations? What's given rise to this expectation?
That's right. And then fast forward quite a number of years later, in 2017, I was retrenched from my full-time job. So at that point in time, Jen was already doing a part-time work arrangement because she wanted to spend more time with the kids at home. So income was already variable on her part.
Right.
I was the one holding on to a full-time job, a good paying job. So when I lost my job back then, 2017, that really, really stressed her out a lot. But guess what? I was really happy because like, I now I can go out and do my own things, right? It's something that I've always wanted to. So we were kind of operating at a different
different mindset,
right? So I was excited. I was looking forward to discovering what I can do. I mean, we did eventually start our own business, training consultancy, but it wasn't easy for her. It really stressed her out a lot because financial stability was something that was very important for her. Not that it's not important to me, it was still important, but maybe I was maybe delusional.
Coping mechanism.
I thought I could do it, right? But she was really stressed.
I think you had a better sense of the numbers and you were looking at the numbers.
Yeah, because I'm always the one managing the budgeting, the savings, the investments. So I kind of felt, not too bad. I think we can manage at least for the next
And his expectations of life is generally simple. But I think which brings on another point for us as a couple, that many a times we think of money as a means to buying us happiness. And one of the things that I had to let go of and for us to rebalance as a couple is that money is important, but it doesn't always buy us a lot of happiness. And happiness can be found in many other things. So when Raymond lost his job, I think we looked at our expenses. One of the things we wanted to be sure of is to minimize all debt and make sure that we were debt-free as much as possible. And so that was one of the things that we do, and we would say to all young couples, minimize all your debt as much as possible, because when you minimize debt, you actually bring yourself a lot of freedom. And so we found out that we could have a lot of happiness from taking nature walks, having home-cooked meals, spending time having desserts at home, as opposed to going out. And those were great ways in which we didn't have to spend a lot of money, but our happiness level was very high. So that's one of the key financial principles, where money doesn't always buy you happiness. Money is important and can buy you some happiness, but there are many other ways in which you can be happy as a couple, use money wisely, and spend your time without spending a lot of money.
Wow. I think that was a really good point. You know, the fact that money doesn't buy us all the happiness in the world. It can buy us some, but not all of it, right?
That's right.
And I think really that's that mindset shift that a lot of us need to have in order to manage finances well as well. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing so authentically as well. I think before we want to end, just wanted to ask any final thoughts or encouragement for our podcast viewers.
I think one of the tips we give young couples, or we would have told ourselves in our earlier years, would be, let's manage all our spending based on one person's salary and perhaps the lower person's salary. Mm. Because whatever the other partner earns, if that can be used for savings or investment, that gives you so much freedom to take a pause later in life and say, maybe I want to pursue something else that's different. Mm-hmm. Perhaps this is a time where, you know, we want to focus our lives on caring for a family member or doing something that we've always wanted or venture into something new.
Yeah, or maybe one of either the wife or the husband decide to stay at home to be a full-time mom, full-time dad, right? Mm. And you have the financial stability, not just the financial stability and the cushion, but also because of the discipline of living very prudently on one income, that transition will be a lot easier.
Right.
Right. So it does give us a lot of flexibility. So on hindsight,
we would have been more diligent to do that.
If we have known, if we received this advice 25 years back, we could have redid our finances very differently.
Right.
Yeah. So that's one advice we tend to give our couples these days.
Wow. And I think that was a mind-blowing tip. I never thought to think of it that way, right? Where you manage it on one person's salary and then everything else is bonus, actually.
That's right.
I think once again, just wanted to thank you guys for sharing so authentically about your journey together as a couple with regards to finances. We really hope that you found today's episode helpful. As always, do share this podcast with a friend who might benefit from it. Thank you for listening in. And remember, marriage isn't just about enjoying each other's company. It's about doing small things with consistent effort together.